Please be seated. Well, my testimony is that I moved here from the state of Virginia, crossed over the Blue Ridge and the Allegheny Mountains, rented two storage lockers, moved into the second floor of an old storage house, and I lost a few things along the way. And I went through my filing cabinets and extracted the files I thought would be the most important to have and put them in the back of a storage locker and put everything else in front of them, which may not have been the best planning in the world. Well, I discovered a couple weeks ago that I was missing a couple of files, and I had to go to the locker and pull everything out and go through the cabinets and find the folders and then put everything back. It was a lot of trouble. And you know, if you've lost something that you really need or something that you really value or someone that you really value, that you can't really rest until you get that back or that person back. I have wondered what it would be like for me if my son who lives in Philadelphia or my daughter-in-law or my daughter in Augusta or my son-in-law or one of my grandchildren came up missing. What would I do? I can guarantee I would ask for leave of absence, and I'd be wherever they were supposed to be, and I'd be trying to find them. And I wouldn't rest until they were found. Well, according to today's gospel, as shocking as it may be to your mind, God has lost something and is trying to find it. And in short, it's you and me that's gotten lost. And God is trying to find us. I love something that one of the church fathers, whose name I have trouble pronouncing, as well as the town he was from, Methchild of Magdeburg, what a name, his mother must not have liked him. He describes God's love like this: the rippling tide of love that flows secretly from God into the soul and draws it mightily back to its source. Isn't that a gorgeous image? The rippling tide of love that flows secretly into the soul and draws it back to its source. If you've ever felt misdirected or confused or meaningless or empty, that's something of what it feels like to be lost from your source, which is God. And you'd ask the question, I would ask you this question: why are you here today? Mama made me. My wife woke me up and brought me. Well, there's a deeper reason. Could it be that we sort of stumble our way back into the assembly of Christians because the rippling tide of love has been flowing secretly into our souls and drawing us back to the source, and we didn't even know it? Now, Jesus tells these two vivid little stories in response to people who are fussing about the company he keeps, because he's not dining with the rector during the interim at St. John's, nor with the priest at the Catholic Church, nor with the pastor at First Christian. He is dining with the ex-cons who just got out, and with the homeless people sleeping in barns out in rural Woodford County, and with the addicted and the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the violent and the angry and the people that nobody else in Versailles wants to hang out with. Those are the people he's meeting down at Ricardo's. And the cradle Episcopalians down at St. John's, who are trying to pick up all the crumbs off the altar after communion and be sure that the body of Christ is treated with reverence, are grumbling about the folks he hangs out with. And so he tells these two stories. Notice that the first seeker in this is a shepherd who is a man, and the second seeker is a housewife. Two interesting images for the seeking love of God. If you read Luke and Acts, Luke loves to do this. He pairs like that. And so we have this story in these people who are seeking for something they lost, and the story is based on the number 10. Did you notice that? 10 coins and 100 sheep. 10 squared. Well, 10 is the sum of 1, 2, 3, and 4. And for the ancient people, it was a symbol of wholeness or completeness. So what these parables are telling us is that God has lost something very dear, which is wholeness in the creation. And wholeness within us as individuals, our brokenness. And that God simply can't let that lie. So the shepherd does something pretty drastic. According to the text, he leaves the 99 in the desert. Well, who's taking care of them? Surely he put them in a pen, or he drove them in a cave and built a fire in the entrance to the cave to keep them there. Well, maybe, you know, that's what shepherds would normally do. But Jesus leaves out that little detail. And in the other story, the woman lights an oil lamp. It's a primitive peasant home. There aren't very many windows. You can't see very well in there in the daytime. The floor is dust and dirt, and a little coin would be hard to find there. So she's down on her knees with the lamp shining in the corners and sweeping with fury, and the dust clouds are choking her. The image we get is of a God who is tenaciously seeking to bring us back. Now, if you lose something, you have to go where it is to get it back. Which is what Jesus did. God came to us in Jesus Christ and went to the deepest, darkest place of all, the cross, because that's where we were lost. And it doesn't matter how confused you or I may get, how depressed we may get, how addicted to something like a drug or a substance we may be, how angry we may be, how meaningless our lives may feel, it doesn't matter. God will come to us in the place where we are and suffer with us in that place to get us out of it. And if you think about yourself, have you ever lost a part of yourself? When you're really angry and raging, where did the gentle self go? And when you're addicted to something that to dull your pain, where did the courageous self go that can face the pain without numbing it out? And if you're confused and bewildered and can't make a decision, where did the wise self in you go that could sort this out and make the decision? It's not just that God brings us back. It is that God helps us to reunite the scattered portions of ourselves within and brings us to wholeness. And there's no dark corner in my psyche or yours that's lost and fragmented that God won't dip down into and be with us in to bring us to wholeness. This is about a tenacious, loving, seeking God who just won't quit. Wholeness. Imagine that every person in Woodford County, every person, was gathered at a table like this somewhere with others experiencing the love of God. That's the wholeness God is up to trying to create. Now, if you look at this story, there's actually kind of a dark side to it that's not really talked about. Jesus says that there's more joy in God over one, and there's humor in this, by the way, over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. Now, have you ever met somebody who didn't need to turn to God about something or other? I mean, this is humor. And what Jesus is saying is, it's joy in heaven, which means joy in God. And joy in the angels, because the angels are partying, but God's partying with them. Whenever one of us comes home, or whenever a broken part of us is mended and brought back into place, there's a party in heaven. And there is joy there. Now, I don't know about you, but for me sometimes, when I'm rubbing up against the brokenness in other Christians, in the church? Does somebody ever get under your skin or turn you off who's in the church? Maybe joy is not the first thing you experience there. But that's what God experiences in when our brokenness is being mended and rewoven. If I were to ask you, what would you like to have as the central emotion of the life of St. John? What would it be? Joy! Celebration! You know that we wouldn't be grumbling about the ne'er-do-wells that find their way in here that aren't well-dressed and don't live like we think they should. We wouldn't be grumbling, we'd be celebrating because God's creation is getting mended and these people are getting woven into the love of God. You know? That's the central thing, is to celebrate. But that dark side, if God is celebrating those who return, how must God be responding to those who are still broken and lost? That's not stated in this text, but we can imagine, can't we? Grief, sadness. This is the 9th anniversary of 9/11. Yesterday was. We can remember how terribly broken and hurt we were about that expression of human lostness. And imagine what God carries every day about the creation that is not mended, about those who are lost, and about the brokenness in us that is not yet mended. So yes, we can come and celebrate, but we can grieve at the same time. You know, human beings are complex. We can have more than one emotional state at once. So what would this motivate us to do? If God is gathering, what should we be doing? Gathering. You know, yes, I'm the rector during the interim period. Yes, I'm not a real priest, quote unquote. The real permanent rector comes later. There ain't no such thing as a permanent rector. You know, he may stay 30 years, but he ain't permanent. So the mission of the church to witness and serve and gather people, that's not a priest job. That's a church call. So during this time between the quote-unquote permanent rectors, we all need to be grieving and celebrating and joining in with God in this work of inviting people and be conscious of people around us who are scattered and broken and disconnected from God's love. So will you join me in that? Did you know that 80 to 90% of the new people who come through the doors of the church come because somebody they know invited them? Yeah. And so I invite you today, if you've been wandering in brokenness and meaninglessness, come home to the table. A God who loves you will greet you with great joy. And join with the rest of us in that mission of gathering, letting God gather the scattered parts of ourselves and joining and celebrating as others are gathered. I haven't said this in the other two homilies, what I'm about to say, but I was called to preach as a 15-year-old boy in the Baptist church, and I've spent the last 50 years doing this. And it's still at the center of my heart, you know, to want to see people gathered unto God. Go back to that line, the rippling tide of love, which flows secretly from God into the soul and draws it mightily back to its source.